While hospitals juggle high emergency department volumes, staffing constraints, tighter budgets, and increasing compliance demands, their data often remains fragmented across emergency medical services, EHRs, and registries. Welcome to the AHA Bringing Value series from the American Hospital Association. In this series of podcasts, we speak with AHA business partners, check in on their efforts, and learn about how they support AHA hospital and health system members. I'm Elisa Adespapachaga, Group Vice President of Clinical Affairs and Workforce at the American Hospital Association. And today I'm joined by Joe Graw, Chief Growth Officer at Image Trend, and Jeff Komu, former fire chief and paramedic and current strategic advisor at Image Trend. In this episode, we'll talk a little bit about how real-time EMS data is helping hospital teams see the whole patient picture sooner, run the ED with greater efficiency, and provide better patient care. So Joe and Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Wonderful. Joe, let's start with you. And I know we've talked before about there's the data and then there's the data. There's the data that Jeff is sort of yelling over the patient to the ED doc, the most critical bullet of information. But then there is all the data that EMS has that can be used before a patient arrives to make better clinical operational decisions. What are those elements that create the most clinical value for that connection from EMS to the EHR?
Yeah, great question, Elisa. So there's a few things that we want to look at here on the data side. There's so much data moving around the healthcare continuum, especially for emergencies. And pre-hospital, what we want to look at are really the most relevant pieces of information that we can flow to the receiving facility, even before the patient actually gets there. As you can imagine, pre-hospital, when a provider is taking care of a patient, they're charting acuity signals. And I think inbound acuity signals are really important for the receiving facility to prepare things like chief complaint, the mechanism of injury, the primary impression that the provider is dealing with, and then also any symptoms that might go along with that. In addition, there's other things that we can move across the continuum of care, such as vital signs. And what we start to hear is not just the first set of vital signs or the last set, but a trend on the vital side, right? Can we actually trend that in very near real time and make it available to the receiving facility? And then on the acuity signal side, the final important factor, in our opinion, would be something like neurological status, the assessment of the patient. Is there a GCS score that was performed, or if there was a stroke scale that was done, or other assessment indicators that might be important as the receiving facility starts to assess the patient before, again, they hit the doors of the emergency department. Time critical, like I said, is really important. So having the ability to see things like the dispatch, how much time the provider has spent on scene, when they depart scene, and then also what is that ETA for that unit and that patient before they arrive at the facility. And again, when you have all of that information in very near real time, it enables things like earlier team activations for high acuity patients, things like bed resource prep, and that team, again, aligns with what they're seeing pre-hospital to better treat the patient. And then I'll mention medications administered very quickly is important. So as those medication markers and meds are performed in the pre-hospital setting, we want to make sure that those carry forward. And then things like interventions, if airway management is established pre-hospital, or if there was an IV administered, things like that are so important to stream. And the beauty is they can with the data standard that we have in place. And then operationally, I'll just mention a few things. That structured demographic data that's being captured pre-hospital, we have the ability to pre-register the patient. So again, we're looking for all of those areas where we can leverage the data that's being collected to avoid duplication and then a more seamless handoff for the patient. So to wrap it all up, I would say look at those inbound acuity signals, the actions that are performed pre-hospital, the timestamps and the importance there, and all of that information should be delivered as standardized structured data. And again, the whole goal is have the patient meet the team at the ED to make that care transition as seamless as possible.
Joe, one more question for you, and then we'll go to Jeff, but what do you need to be able to do that securely? Because we know it's in the news, I feel like, almost every other day, but cybersecurity is so important. How do we make sure that we're transmitting that data effectively and safely and securely for the patient and for the both organizations?
Yeah, another really important topic and something that we talk a lot about on the technical side is making sure that as we have interoperability discussions, that we follow a sequence of steps. And I think first and foremost, once you have that use case for the value of interoperability, you want to involve your stakeholders as early as possible. IT is a great resource. The tech side can connect you to things like existing enterprise integrations and infrastructure that already exists that actually could complement the interoperability initiative that you're working on, right? In addition to the security policies. So what we want to try to do as we roll these out, again, is follow standards, reduce those custom, fragile, one-off integrations that oftentimes result in long-term maintenance challenges for everyone involved. And if we can find a way for interoperability to fit within the existing interface engines that exist within hospitals and healthcare systems, it makes the flow of data a lot more seamless. And it prevents a lot of work or rework downstream after these integrations are in place. A perfect example is think about a hospital system that has multiple, could be multiple hospitals or a combination of hospitals and freestanding EDs, and even primary care providers. Instead of establishing point-to-point connections with each of those, getting IT involved early, you can ask questions like, is there an enterprise messaging solution or service that's available that we could stream one connection from pre-hospital to feed the entire hospital system just with that one pipe? So as far as security goes, again, I would say IT is important. Authentication and identity management, those are things that your IT folks might already have defined for you, right? So instead of recreating that, you can latch on to some of the existing policies that are already in place. Role-based access to data is also really important. Following the standards there that IT has in place, I think, are critical and also will ensure that you stay in compliance after this, the data stream is opened up. It's really, really important to have auditing as well. So thinking about auditing, just not in terms of the user that's accessing the data, but also the endpoints. So where is this data coming from? And then when am I sending data back? Being able to clearly articulate that is also very important. And from the security standpoint too, I would say, I say standards a lot. EMS, Alyssa, you know this. EMS has a standard called NEMSIS that we really advocate for. It's not only a structured, standardized way of collecting data, but also transmitting data in a way that EMS is used to, and also translating it in a way that hospital systems are also used to. So I know I said a lot there, but from a security perspective, I think once you have these projects ready, it's important to focus on a few things. Stakeholders, IT primarily, standards in place, and then identity and policy management and auditability.
I mean, that's the thing, is that the EMS is an extension of the care that's being delivered. So how do we make sure it's connected as possible? Jeff, let me turn to you, because there's a lot of data. There's what I refer to as, you know, that bullet, that chunk of data that you give the ED physician, which are the 3, 4, 5 things they need in that moment to start treating that patient. But then there is all the data that you have in terms of understanding what your patterns are, where you're seeing challenges in communities with specific patients, the folks who you see on a more regular basis because they may not have access to care otherwise. And there's a lot of things you can help hospitals identify using the data that you all are collecting. So how are some of the ways that you're doing that as an EMS leader?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think this is where we start to break down silos within EMS and hospital systems, right? Is how we can connect those together. So the way I like to look at it is, you know, your hospital is really your gateway into your hospital system, right? And transport decisions from EMS happen long before the patient ever arrives at the ED. So those transport patterns that are happening out in the market or in the world are super important. So when we really talk about like EMS transport patterns, I think we're really talking about the earliest and most honest demand signal a hospital really has that really shows what's going on within a market. And those transport patterns can really inform hospital leaders in near real time, really where patients are going, where they're coming from, and why that's happening within a market, which is very, very powerful information. So that data really immediately surfaces leakage, EMS intel, that's what's going on within a market, or even time of day capacity issues where high acuity patients, high value patients are consistently bypassing a hospital system one way or the other. So hospitals that are really tied into using EMS data, the nice thing with that is they're not guessing on what's going on within a market, but instead they can proactively really start working on building strategies and strengths with actionable data that really start to meet hospital objectives, growth, and whatever efficiencies that they're trying to work on from a hospital standpoint, which I think is really important, understanding what the EMS data is really showing, what's going on in a market. And I think the biggest takeaway when you're looking at it from a hospital standpoint is that EMS behavior isn't just operational, it's market behavior. So there's a lot of value tied into that data. So it really is a strong objective view, in my opinion, of really showing what is going on with like leakage or capacity problems going on in a market or stress within a market, and really help identify maybe some service line opportunities that are already trying to happen within a market that you can see from the EMS data. And that's what makes it so powerful.
Joe and Jeff, I'm going to ask you both to answer this one. And Joe, I'll start with you about the metrics that leaders should be looking at as they're embarking on these partnerships and thinking about how do they move together and start to really partner on understanding the data that, with their EMS teams, as they think about how do they make tweaks and improve and so forth. What are the two or three metrics that they should start with? And what are the ones they should keep an eye on over time to really show some change?
Yeah, there's so many. And I think it's important to start with some easy wins that you can communicate to your stakeholders as well. Once we have this interoperability in place, we can very easily measure things like arrival at the ED with the patient to bedtime, for example. What is the baseline and how do I incrementally influence that metric to find improvements? EMS offload time is a really important topic. We want to make sure that, especially for the high acuity patients, that we're able to hit and improve upon those metrics and having the full continuum of care longitudinally with all of those data segments allows us to easily share metrics like that. Time to activation is a really important one as well. When we're in the field, having the ability to do a high acuity alert activation to prepare the receiving facility timely is so critical, not just from a throughput perspective, but from a patient care, quality of care, and outcome perspective. Those are really baseline, I think, throughput metrics that we could take a look at to help inform and better understand the continuum of care for emergencies.
I would absolutely mirror really kind of what Joe mentioned. I think from a hospital perspective, there's some key metrics that I think hospitals should really be tracking on whether or not their engagement with EMS is really working and if they're seeing changes within their market. I think one of the biggest ones that I think hospitals really need to keep an eye on is really what I would call their EMS destination capture rate. So, you know, when you're looking at percentage-wise, what's the percentage of eligible patients that are actually being transported to your facility by EMS? That's an important metric for hospitals to make sure they're keeping an eye on. It's really the cleanest way to show whether or not your engagement with EMS, protocol changes, your EMS alignment is really working within your market. So I think that's a key matrix. The second one I would say is really having a hold of what leakage looks like in your market based by zip code, agency, and service line. So really not just where are we losing patients, but where are they going and what types of patients are coming to our facility and what's the reason behind that? I think that's a key metric when you're looking at that from a hospital standpoint and EMS engagement. And probably the last one I think is really important for hospital systems is really understanding what bypass and diversion frequency looks like from an EMS standpoint within your market. So, and that's really like tracking how often EMS is bypassing your facility and under what conditions is that happening. So if your engagement with EMS is strong and you're seeing a decline in your bypass rate, that's really some tangible evidence for you from a hospital standpoint that you have improved trust, your capacity is good, and your operational and relationships with EMS are probably functioning at a pretty high level. So when you see a decrease in any of those would be metrics that I'd be like, what's kind of going on and where do we need to make tweaks and adjustments within our market to make sure, one, our EMS is happy and they want to come to our facilities? And how do we build those relationships? So in the end, it's all about patient care, that the patient's receiving the best care possible within their market. And those start with strong relationships with EMS before the 911 call happens, while it's happening, and transition into the healthcare system. So those are key ones, I think, that from a hospital standpoint are powerful metrics to be keeping an eye on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, while I imagine everyone is very happy to have you arrive, nobody wants to see you. So how do we make sure we do that as effectively and as efficiently as possible so we really can take care of the community that we're all here to serve? Joe, Jeff, I'm going to ask you if you have any other final advice for AHA members who are looking to take the same sort of standards-based approach to figuring out that connectivity from the moment of the challenge all the way through to discharge and hopefully going home all well and good. Joe, you want to start?
Sure. Like I said, I say it a lot. I would say start with standards, leverage the existing infrastructure that you might already have. And once you build the use cases, start with one or two high impact cases that you can analyze and provide metrics around very quickly. What we find is adoption really comes quickly when teams start to see the value of the project or this interoperability initiative. And if there's an impact operationally, clinically, and from the patient's perspective on the outcome side, those are really important things. And finally, I would say close the loop. And what we mean by that is make sure that this is not a one-way send. We want to make sure that the hospital system is also able to send and share the relevant information back to EMS. And what this does is it really, to Jeff's point, improves the relationship between the two systems of care. It improves protocols. It also really improves the quality of care that's being delivered that has a really big impact on the outcome of the patient. So it's very important to think about those things, in my opinion.
Jeff, any closing advice?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to follow Joe because he hits everything right on the head and does such a good job and understands that very well. I really feel a lot of this is relationship driven, right? Anything you can do to improve relationships between hospital and EMS, breaking down silos within data so we can talk to each other. And that makes the data more powerful. And in the end, really improves patient care within the market, which is what we want. We want EMS to get good outcome data so they can make changes, so they can treat patients better within the field. Is what I'm doing in the field matching what the hospital is seeing when I drop a patient off? From an end user and a paramedic level, that information is just huge on increasing capability and training within departments across the country to improve patient care. And then on the flip side, just being able to hand those patients off effectively and in a timely manner, like Joe mentioned, on the flip side, when the patient does arrive to the ED, that throughput functions how it should, is seamless, and the data helps drive decision-making. So I think those things are key for sure.
Joe, Jeff, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your insights to really help healthcare writ large, healthcare leaders and the frontline teams really drive meaningful and lasting change. For our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about ImageTrend, please visit www.imagetrend.com. This has been AHA Bringing Value Series brought to you by the American Hospital Association. Thanks for listening.